you guys, Flickers of Fear time. And I know this is probably a very obvious joke to make, but we need to talk about Kevin. Still funny, sorry. But yeah, so this is a movie that came out back in 2011, which is really weird because I feel like this movie's been on my radar to watch for like such a really long time. And I didn't even realize that it was now at this point like 10 years old. And I was like, wow, I really needed to get on the ball sooner. So I remember there was a big hubbub when the movie came out. There was also a big hubbub, which I actually kind of remember, when the novel came out, because this is actually based on a novel by Lionel Shriver. That came out back in 2003, I want to say, and I just remember it was like a big bestseller, and it was like, you know, I kind of feel like the author was on a lot of talk shows and stuff like that talking about it, because this movie kind of tackles a subject that maybe was kind of like disturbing, because I don't know about controversial, I guess, but it was one of those things where, if you guys saw my review, my book review of Baby Teeth, that was like a more recent book, but that kind of covers the same ground as this, in that, what do you do as a mother, as a parent, when you suspect that your child is maybe a sociopath, and what like comes out of that? So now I haven't read the novel, but I have like read some plot synopses of it and, you know, read a couple reviews of it and stuff. Now the novel was actually written in like letter form, like in the form of the main character, Eva, who is the mother of the titular Kevin. And she is writing a series of letters to her husband about her feelings about this kid, like about pretty much like from the kid's birth, like how she reacted to him and things like that. I think they did a kind of interesting thing in the film. I think what ended up happening with this movie was that, you know, the novel was such a big hit, like it was, you know, something that a lot of people were talking about, like, you know, culturally at the time, particularly as its character of Kevin ends up being like a sort of school shooter type. And like I said, you know, kind of looking into the relationship between the mom and the son and, you know, nature versus nurture type of stuff. So I think that the rights to the book were purchased like way back in 2005. And then they were kind of like trying to get it made like for a really long time before, because I think this was actually like a British film. And I guess they couldn't really get the funds they wanted to make it the way they wanted to make it. So they had to like rewrite the script. So it was not as expensive to make, you know, and things like that. So what they did with the book being in, you know, in letter form, or epistolary style, if you want to get all literary about it, obviously you can't really do that in a movie. So what they did, they kind of took an interesting, this was directed by Lynn Ramsey, by the way. And I think she also did The Lovely Bones, and among other things, if I'm remembering correctly. But what she did was decided to go kind of like a fragmentary, dreamlike, so I don't want to say dreamlike like too much, but this movie, it doesn't really have like a straightforward narrative. It's more kind of like, I mean, I didn't have a problem following it, but you know, it's one of those ones where, you know, the arc of the story kind of becomes apparent, but it's not like a straightforward first act, second act, third act. It's more like, it's from the point of view of the main character of Eva, who's played by Tilda Swinton. And she's just kind of, you know, I hate to say randomly, but she's like randomly remembering various things, you know, in the life of her being a mother to this kid who ended up being a school shooter. So it's like everything doesn't unfold like in a, you know, in a narrative, in a, you know, XYZ type of way. It's basically just kind of like in the present day, she thinks of something and that makes her remember something like from back in the day. So it's just, it's kind of like a fragmentary, like a more of a memory type of movie. So what we see from this is that Eva was, I guess, prior to her getting married and having kids and everything like that, was one of these very free-spirited. She was very into travel, and she was apparently a very successful travel writer. So she would like go all over and she would like write books about it and was very successful. She lived in New York City, so she was very urbane, very sophisticated, that type of thing. Now, she meets her husband, Franklin, who's played by John C. Reilly, who is always awesome. And apparently what ends up happening, you know, they fall very much in love. They end up getting married and then she gets pregnant. And you can tell she's kind of ambivalent about it because, you know, this isn't exactly how she pictured her life going. Like I said, she's kind of a city girl. She's like kind of a sophisticated intellectual type who likes to travel. And I kind of feel she, you know, it kind of comes across that her being pregnant now, being like a family woman, is kind of like maybe making her like a little resentful, or like she's being like held down, or, you know, the life isn't going the way she wanted to. And it doesn't help too that, you know, before the kid is born, or right around the time the kid is born, Franklin, her husband, is like, well, we can't raise a kid in New York City. That's no place to raise a kid. So we have to move out to the suburbs. And, you know, and she is like super, super not happy about that, because she really misses New York City. Now, even before the kid is born, who will end up being Kevin, she, as I said, she seems to have some resentment because this isn't the life that she wanted necessarily. So there's even a scene of her, like the scene of her giving birth, where, you know, and like I said, this is very fragmentary, like the way they do it. But there's a scene of her giving birth, and she's basically, the lady keeps telling her, like, stop fighting it, stop fighting it. It's almost like she's trying to keep the kid inside, like she doesn't want the reality of the kid to, like, you know, come to fruition or whatever. And then there's this great shot of her just, like, sitting in the bed, like, after the baby's born, and she's just kind of, like, sitting there just staring ahead, like, staring straight ahead, while Franklin, her husband, like, holds the baby and coos at it and stuff like that. So you can tell from the very beginning that, you know, she maybe harbors some resentment against this kid for essentially like ruining her life, I guess. But the thing about it, and this is interesting, I think that the book, from what I've heard, like I said, I haven't read it, I think that the book is maybe slightly more nuanced and suggests more that Eva's attitude toward the kid, like even before the kid was born, like as soon as the kid was a baby, went some way toward, I don't know if it was like entirely her fault, but I think the book was a lot more ambiguous in whether it was her fault, like her resentment against this baby, and her maybe treating him in a way that she wasn't entirely aware of, you know what I mean? Or her just like being distant, being unable to bond with him and things like that, maybe was responsible in some fashion for the monster that he became. I think the movie kind of goes into this, because like I said, even the author of the book has even said that they were worried about when the movie was made, that maybe the trope of Eva being an unreliable narrator, as in everything you're seeing, you know, in the book, because it's all from her point of view, so maybe she's not perceiving things, you know, in the way that other people would perceive them. So like I said, the book I've heard is a lot more ambiguous. The movie, even though it does delve into that, and it doesn't shy away from the fact that, you know, Eva is resentful of having to move out to the suburbs and, like, give up her life for this kid. But I think because the kid in the movie is just so obviously a shit, is, like, just so obviously, like, a monster, that you feel a lot more sympathy for Eva in the movie. At least I did. I'm not really sure. Because I have seen, like, some people that were talking about the book that said, well, Eva was really unlikable, or she was, like, kind of snotty or whatever. I didn't really get that so much from the movie. Like I said, the resentment does come through, but in the movie, it's almost kind of like she's trying to bond with this kid, but she's just having a really hard time. And it doesn't help that even from, you know, even from when the kid is born, he's like super, super difficult. And he almost seems, even from a very young age, the kid seems very manipulative. So basically she gives birth to this kid. Like I said, she's not super happy about it, but she does like try. She's not like a terrible mother or anything like that from the beginning. She does try. So when the kid is a baby, like before he even starts talking, all he does is scream like all the time, but only when he's with her. Like that's another thing. And this kind of reminded me too of like I said, the later book Baby Teeth, which was probably like inspired to some extent, like by this novel and movie as well. But the kid seems like when he's around the dad, Franklin, he's just all quiet and everything like that. But when she holds him, he screams and cries and he just will not be comforted at all. And so this is really like, so it's almost like this fucked up like feedback loop of, you know, I didn't really want this kid, but I'm going to try my best to raise him. But maybe the kid senses that even when they're a baby. So it's like all they do is like when this woman is holding them, he just screams and cries and he just won't. But then when the dad, who is much more like, oh, baby, you know, and he's more into it, But that also kind of serves to make Eva look like she's exaggerating or she's making things up, because from the dad's point of view, the kid seems like a sweet, normal kid because he's not around when this kid is like screaming his fool head off like all day long. And that just fuels Eva's resentment against this kid, because now it's like this kid is acting like this and nobody else sees it really but her. And so that's kind of, so it's kind of like making her think like, well, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm, you know, exaggerating. Maybe, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like this really terrible feedback loop of misery. You know what I mean? So as the kid grows up, like even when he's like toddler age, he's kind of, he goes through a thing where he's like kind of nonverbal. She does actually take him to a doctor. Like, she's like, shouldn't he be talking by now? Maybe he has autism. So she does seem like she's trying to go through, like jump through the right hoops to see what's the matter with this kid. But even the doctor is just kind of like, well, he doesn't really have any other signs of that. You know, he seems physically normal. Maybe he's just like a little bit slow in the uptake. So I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? So again, her feelings toward this kid are kind of like invalidated. And again, when this kid is a toddler, he basically, as much as she tries to connect with him and as much as she tries to play with him, you know, there's a scene of her just like throwing a, you know, let's catch the ball. And he just like sits there and stares at her. You know what I mean? And he just won't do it. And she just like tells, you know, say mommy. And he's like, no, that's like all he'll say. But like I said, around the dad, he's like super lovey. So the dad doesn't really, it's not so much that he doesn't know what's going on, but it's almost kind of like he just sees this side of Kevin. So he just thinks that mom is exaggerating it and is pissed off because, you know, this wasn't the life that she wanted and stuff, which is true. But in some ways too, the older that Kevin gets, you can see how manipulative he is. And it gets to a point where he starts to, he's smart enough to like play the parents off one another, because he knows that, you know, if he's like sweet to his dad or whatever, then is like a shithead to his mom, the dad's not gonna like believe necessarily like anything the mom says about how he's acting, because he doesn't see it. And there's like some pretty gross ass scenes in this movie too. It's like, because one of the things, other than the kid not really talking, like when he's a toddler and a little bit older than a toddler, I think, I can't really tell, I think he was supposed to be like 4 or 5 years old, but he was still wearing diapers because he was still like shitting himself all the time. And it seemed like he was shitting himself on purpose just to be an asshole, which actually does come to fruition one day where basically the kid like poops himself just like to be a jerk. And so she's just kind of like, well, me. And so like she goes and like changes him and cleans him all up and everything. And as soon as she cleans him all up, he starts walking out the room and then he deliberately shits himself again. I'm like, holy crap, where does this kid get all this shit from? And that just makes her so angry. Like it's just built up that she throws him against a wall and breaks his arm. And after this, like, she takes him to the hospital, they fix his arm, she apologizes and everything like that. But one thing that this kid does, and like I said, I'm not entirely sure how, what age he was supposed to be. I think he was supposed to be like 5, maybe. Too old to be pooping himself and wearing diapers, but still old enough that he was like a manipulative little demon. So what he does, he goes to the hospital, he's like, mommy's so sorry, you know, she never should have done that and all this other stuff. But the kid doesn't tell the dad, Franklin, that mom broke his arm. He said, oh, it was me. I was like trying to go to the bathroom and I fell off the, you know, the porta potty or whatever. And, you know, and I broke my arm. So he has that leverage over his mom. Cause you know what I mean? He's like, you know, if you do something to piss me off, then I'll just tell dad that you broke my arm and that'll be the end of it. So he's smart enough at that age to, you know, just manipulate the feelings of the entire family. He also does some shit too, where it's like every now and then, like there's one scene in particular where Eva is reading to him, like when he's sick, and he, for some reason, like starts acting super lovey-dovey toward her. Like she's reading to him from Robin Hood and he's just like all like loving up on her and everything. And she's just like, oh my God, it's like, maybe we've made a breakthrough or something like that. And then the kid is even like dismissive toward the dad, like go away, I'm with mommy or whatever. And so she gets like super happy about it. But that seems like that was another thing that Kevin did just to like fuck with her emotions because he's the literal worst. Now, perhaps unwisely into this situation, Eva and Franklin have a second child, a little girl named Celia. Now, Celia is a lovely, lovely child, and Eva has no problem at all connecting with this particular baby. So she turns out very, very happy and very normal and everything like that. But of course, Kevin, who at this stage is kind of like a young teenager, he's obviously not too happy about this, and it's really kind of the scenes of the two of them together are kind of sad, because the little girl is obviously, like, that's her big brother, and she does everything for him, and she's super nice to him, and he just, like, calls her a retard and all this other stuff, like, and just, like, makes her go get stuff for him like a slave and all this other kind of shit. And it's just, like, really sad, because she idolizes him because that's her big brother. Another thing that happens too, and like I said, this is how clueless the fucking dad is, because the kid, Kevin, is like so into Robin Hood and he's really good at archery. So for Christmas one year, Kevin gets a really, really nice compound bow, which, like I said, you can see where the fuck this is gonna go. And that's like just, I would not have given this kid weaponry of any, in any way, shape, or form. But like I said, dad was a little checked out or clueless. All he sees is this wonderful boy who has an interest in archery, and let's get him that. And sadly, Celia, for Christmas, gets a guinea pig. Now, you know, pretty much from the second that she opens that up, it's like, oh boy, a guinea pig. Yeah, you know that guinea pig's not gonna have a very good end, and indeed, he does not. Spoiler alert, he ends up in the garbage disposal, which is pretty fucked up. And at which point, too, Celia, the little girl, she's left in the care of Kevin, like, for some brief time, and she somehow gets, like, some drain cleaner or something like that, like, in her eye, and it essentially blinds her. Like, they have to, like, remove her eye and, you know, she gets a glass eye. As I said, this is not really laid out in order. What you're basically seeing, they start at the beginning, like, the very first scene is, you presume that it's, like, Eva before she got married, before they had the kid, everything like that, where she's at that, what's that, you know that big festival in Italy where it's, like, the tomato festival where everybody just goes in the street and just smears tomato sauce all over themselves? Okay, so she's at that, and she's having, like, a really good time and everything. But like I said, the way they shoot it, you know, it looks like a whole bunch of crowd, like, just covered with gore, you know what I mean? And that's one thing I've, you know, this movie seems to have had, like, really, really positive reviews, or some people, like, some critics, like, really, really hated it because they just thought it was too, like, oh, the symbolism of red. It's like every scene has to have, like, a red thing in it. Like, it's symbolic of, like, blood and guilt and all this other kind of stuff, and that it was too heavy-handed. I didn't really find that. Like, I saw that, but it wasn't, like, you know, distracting to me or anything like that. But, you know, you could argue that the symbolism, you know, like I said, the tomatoes and everything like that at the beginning, you know, just looking like a big crowd of people all covered with blood or whatever, you know, was too on the nose. But like I said, it didn't really bother me all that much. But what happens after that is we actually cut to what we're presuming is, like, the present day. And Eva is now, like, living by herself in, like, this shitty house, and she's trying to get a job. And if you don't know what this movie is about, then you're just like, what the fuck, like, is up with this woman? Like, she's trying to get a job, and, like, everyone's looking at her weird, like, in the town. And, like, the lady at the travel agency where she goes to get a job is just like, I don't care who you are, what you've done, as long as you can do the job, it's fine. But all her coworkers are, like, looking at her like that. Like, she'll walk down the street and, like, this woman comes up to her and just, like, slaps her in the face, like, you monster or whatever. And, you know, somebody throws red paint all over her house and stuff. So they kind of start out with that. And then as time goes on, you know, and at one point, like, near the beginning, she's going and visiting Kevin in prison. So they kind of, like, start in the present and then kind of, like, jump back and forth a lot. And they never really say, like, whether it's back and forth, but you can tell because in the present day, like, Tilda Swinton looks like, you know, she doesn't have any makeup, her hair's all fucked up. She looks like rode hard and put up wet. Whereas in the, you know, in the older ones, she looked like she has, like, you know, a professional looking haircut, and she looks like all put together and everything. So you can kind of tell, you know, which time period it is without too much trouble. Now, at this point, it's kind of like I said, so after that happens with the little kid, Eva is just kind of like, man, what the fuck? At this point, too, Eva's like, look, I think this kid is, you know, is a sociopath, and maybe we should do something about that. But Franklin just doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't see it. He doesn't really perceive things the same way that his wife does. So at this stage, they're kind of talking about getting a divorce. At which point, like I said, I think Kevin at this point, I'm not sure how old he's, but I think he's 15 or almost 16, so he's in high school. And he basically decides to do, like, a Columbine-style, you know, school shooting, except with a bow and arrow instead of a gun. So that's kind of what we've been, going back and forth to, like, all this whole entire time. And he ends up, like, killing all these people. And like I said, that's why you see all these scenes at the beginning of Eva walking down the street and people just coming up and hitting her, like, everybody staring at her in the grocery store and stuff, because some of those were parents of, you know, the victims and things like that. So this movie, I actually really like this. I could see how, like, some people, this is definitely a horror movie, but it's kind of like a psychological drama with some horror elements. I've seen some reviews that said they thought that it went, like I said, over the top with the symbolism or over the top with it being kind of like campy or lurid. But I don't know. I didn't really find that. It's fairly disturbing. Like I said, I did see one critic call it Birth Control the movie, which, like I said, I think I said something similar when I was talking about the book Baby Teeth. It's the same kind of thing. Like, if you're pregnant or if you're, like, planning on having kids, you might want to skip this one because this is gonna make you, like, not ever want children. But it's just kind of like, so I don't know. Like I said, the book seemed like it was more intent on not really, like, not coming down on one side or the other over how much blame the Eva shouldered for how her son turned out. You know, was he a sociopath? But was her distance from him, was her failure to bond with him from a baby, was that somehow responsible? Did that feed into his later behavior? Was he just born bad? But like I said, in the book, that is left, like, kind of ambiguous because, you know, everything in the book is, you know, in letter form. So it's from Eva's point of view. So you don't know how objectively that she's seeing things. So maybe she's an unreliable narrator, as I mentioned. In the movie, like I said, she does some fucked up shit. She does break her kid's arm at one point, you know, just out of frustration because he keeps shitting himself on purpose just to, like, be an asshole. But in the movie, and I don't know if this is a failure of the movie, because I feel like a lot of critics really didn't like this. This didn't bother me that much, but I can totally see where they're coming from, because the way the child is portrayed, and it's three different, it's a baby, and then, like, toddler, five-ish, it's five or six, and then as a teenager, because the kid is portrayed as essentially Damien, he's just like a monster, with really no redeeming qualities whatsoever. He's just seen as, like, this manipulative little evil shithead. Honestly, I was a lot more sympathetic, like, even when, I know this is a terrible thing to say, but it's like, and you should never ever, like, throw a kid against a wall, obviously, but when that happened in the movie, I'm like, yeah, fuck that kid, just because the kid was, like, the literal worst. And it's just kind of like, so I'm not sure if that was, like, the way that they wanted to portray the kid, because as it comes across, the movie is, like, seems less ambiguous to me, because it seemed like Eva was just kind of like, man, this kid, like, she knew the kid was, like, a shit from the beginning, and she was just kind of like, yeah, I'm not having any of this. And she did try, like I said, she did try to relate to him, she tried to connect with him, you know, she did try to do things. She wasn't just like, man, fuck that kid, and just, like, leaving him out in the fucking, you know, she didn't do that. She did do some things to try to, like, connect with him, and it just didn't work. So I think if the movie was trying to be ambiguous in the sense that, you know, was her resentment, did that play some part in, like, how he turned out, like him being a mass murderer, whereas in the movie I just kind of feel like he was just born like that and he was just the worst, and she was reacting to the situation in a way most people would, like, if you suspect that this kid is evil and you know, you're trying to bring him up because that's what you're supposed to do, but it's like you really don't know what to do about it. She did, like, try to, like, fix it, but it couldn't really, you know, it just never came to fruition that it ended up like that. But overall, like I said, I actually really do like this movie. It's very disturbing. Like I said, it's kind of fragmentary. It's not like, you know, it's not hard to follow. I didn't find it particularly hard to follow, but you have to think that, you know, it goes back and forth in time, just jumps around in time a lot, without really, I don't know if I'd say without any rhyme or reason, but it does kind of jump around. So you do kind of have to, like, pay attention to, like, what timeline you're in. But like I said, the story is not super complicated. All you're doing is, like, you're following, you know, the upbringing, like, this kid's entire life. Like, why did he turn out like this? So I don't know. I thought it was a good flick. Like I said, it's very disturbing. It's going to make you never, ever want children because that kid is just the fucking worst. But yeah, and there's some disturbing scenes in it. Like I said, you know, guinea pig gets, you know, put down a garbage disposal and stuff. They don't super show that. It's not like really graphic. The poop stuff was grosser to me because I'm just like really grossed out by that kid. So I was like, where? This kid just keeps pooping. What is, how can he do that? I don't know. He just must be eating some laxatives or shit like that. But yeah, so as I said, this came out in 2011. I think that Tilda Swinton is great in this. She's great in pretty much everything. She didn't get nominated for an Oscar, weirdly. She did get nominated for a Golden Globe, I think, and a BAFTA, although I don't think she won. John C. Reilly is great in this. He's not in it a huge amount, but he's like kind of the dad, and he's just like kind of this affable sort of dad dude, and he's just kind of like, what? He's just a little boy. He's like, chill out, it's fine, and everything like that. But he's just like totally clueless. But you can't hate him because the kid does kind of like manipulate him into thinking that he's an okay kid when he's totally not. Overall, like a really good film. I can see how, you know, maybe they should have gone a little bit more subtle with the kid. So, because that would be kind of like a more nuanced sort of message rather than, yeah, this kid sucks. Let's just, you know what I mean? And this poor woman has had to put up with this fucking rotten bad seed like all this fucking time, which is kind of how I saw it. But like I said, I'm not a big fan of kids in general, so maybe your mileage may vary. But yeah, so check it out. It's actually on, I think it's on Hulu at the moment. I think I watched it on Hulu, but I'm sure it's on other streaming services as well. So go check it out if you're into like the evil kid subgenre, which I actually kind of like those. So yeah, this is a pretty disturbing one. So yeah, definitely check it out. And I will see you guys on the next Flickers of Fear. Bye.